Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good luck, everybody. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
All right.
Woo indeed.
Yeah, it's lovely to have your ears. James or Jim Campbell is with me.
Hello.
Pete Donson's with me.
I am, hello.
And Luke Moore is with us.
All right.
How you doing, boys?
Not bad.
Good.
Everybody happy?
Yes.
Good. Before we start, we should say that it is nearly the World Cup and... thus, we've teamed up with a few people at manmonth.co.uk. Take
all
it away,
them.
Lukey.
All of them, yeah. Yeah, don't forget, over at manmonth.co.uk, throughout the next few weeks leading up to and including the World Cup, there's lots of things you can enjoy over at manmonth.co.uk. It is blogs and rambles and videos.
Videos. Mm.
For example, Rio Ferdinand, street soccer enthusiast.
Yeah.
And also, things for you to win, like a home cinema system, an Xbox 360, a PS3, and that's all brought to you by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. From the 4th of June, all those prizes could be yours. Just pick a number between 1 and a million.
No, you can't enter.
1,002.
You can't win.
1,002.
You're going very low every time.
Yeah.
Stop this.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's all random. It's fine.
But yeah, from the 4th of June onwards, and that's powered by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. Thank you, Marcus.
There we are indeed, gentlemen. We're going to start with me asking you, tell me your favourite or a memorable England friendly, because there's been a couple of England friendlies, as many international friendlies of
late.
Not
those two last week.
No. Yeah. I would be honoured if James or Jim would go first.
I'm going to go for the friendly that was ahead of the 2006 World Cup. Mm. I believe it was actually in 2005. England against Argentina
in Geneva. Start,
it was
James.
A great game. Crespo put Argentina 1 up, Rooney equalised, mm-hmm. and Rooney was very fresh and exciting at the time. I think Samuel scored a header. It looked like Argentina were going to win, and there were two very late Michael Owen goals. It was a real like exciting smash and grab
yeah.
sort of result, and I think it was probably actually better than any of England's games at the actual
yeah.
World
yeah,
Cup.
Yeah.
It really prepared me for the excitement of a tournament. It was that rare thing, like a sort of a meaningless friendly essentially, that actually feels like a sort of competitive game, and it's brilliant.
Both
it really,
teams really went
really
for
got
it.
Me excited and looking forward to it, and England let me down.
Yeah.
It was a superb game, that.
It was great, yeah.
Really good game. And a very strong start to the show.
Well,
how are we going to ruin it? Pete?
1995, Lansdowne Road, chairs thrown.
He has ruined it.
There it is.
It was a frightening... It was the first time I'd ever seen football hooliganism properly. And I was like, wow, this is horrible.
This is falling into the memorable category, clearly not yeah. favourite.
Yeah, did you
no,
say
no,
favourite?
No, favourite or memorable, so you're okay.
You can have good or bad, can't you? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a terrible situation.
Sadly, it is memorable.
It is, yeah. It was the first sort of time that I'd properly seen football hooliganism. We're a little bit too young to see proper football hooliganism
thankfully.
On the terraces, thankfully.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, it sort of reared its ugly head a little bit, and it looked like it was going to kick on and be a problem for a while, but luckily, and thank Christ, it wasn't. But not a favourite, but memorable one.
Yeah. Luke.
Cast your minds back to 1996.
I've already done it.
Ahead of when football came home.
Mm.
And then buggered off on holiday.
Yeah, but, as a comeback.
Yeah.
England played a friendly against a Hong Kong select 11. Do you remember that?
And, Sir Les scored,
yeah,
Pete.
Sir Les scored the winner in a 1-0 win.
Pointing at you,
and,
Pete.
But it was more memorable for the dentist chair of that evening.
Yes.
Which is where the Gascoigne celebration came
to
from.
To be fair, you've got to celebrate a wonderful win.
Yeah, exactly.
Over
yeah.
a Hong Kong 11.
Yeah. There's 11 of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that would probably be mine. I can't remember.
England
said that,
v Hong
I can't
Kong
remember too much about it, other than the fact that everyone was having a pop at them because they were labouring over a win against the Hong Kong select 11.
Yeah.
But
how far we've come.
Speaking of us labouring over friendlies.
Well, am I going to say mine?
Yeah, go on.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Mine was, I remember England 3, Portugal 0, a friendly win.
Shearer scored a good goal.
Shearer scored the third goal. He could have taken it in a lot further when he was played in, but he thought, no, I'll just rifle it in the top corner from about 20 yards out. But the one I'm going for is England 2, Czech Republic 0. And I'm going for that because it was my first trip to Wembley.
Marcus's day out.
I was about 16 or 17, and it was wonderful. And it Ian Wright and Dion Dublin up front.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And Darren Anderton scored, and Paul Merson. I saw Paul Merson score. That's a collector's item for England. So lovely stuff. Beckham played. Wonderful time.
It's a purely selfish reason, isn't
it? Of course.
Dion Dublin and David Beckham playing together.
That's weird, isn't it?
That is madness. Yeah. Madness.
So it's just a celebration of football, really.
That was when Dion Dublin was sort of knocking on the door. And it's sort of, he's similar to sort of Darren Bent's like now.
Yeah.
Where he get given a chance every so often. He scored one goal for England, didn't he, with the back of his head. But he threw himself at a cross.
Is that right?
And they come off the back of his head and went in. Yeah, I think so.
Oh. James or Jim with the points easily.
He was always going to get the points from the first minute. He was much better than ours. That's why.
Yeah. But it's very selfish of you, James.
I was never going to win because I did a bad one.
No, exactly. Yeah. Sacrifice.
Yeah. I'm just giving people. We can enjoy the good times, but you've also got to remember the bad times.
Yeah, certainly
just peaks and trough, people.
Yeah.
Football's the winner, as always.
Well. Indeed,
football and me.
Yes. Indeed, it was, or is. England beat Mexico 3-1.
Yeah.
And then they beat Japan 2-1. I mean, that's wonderful stuff. Two wins, boys.
I'm not sure how they won both those games.
Well, we'll talk about the Mexico one quickly. Played off the park, outpassed. And what else happened to us?
Why is every team technically better than us?
It really is, isn't it?
We like to win ugly because we're British.
Yeah.
I was actually at the game and was kind of... I could not believe this kind of... real like willingness to actually get the ball off of the ground. It seems like England are really, really keen to just do a sort of unnecessary crossfield pass, or just Rio Ferdinand's got that thing that he likes to do where he'll just sort of trot out defence and just chip it and see what happens.
That's known as the Carragher.
any technically gifted side, or not any sort of technically kind of
any awake side.
Anybody sort of with the barest amount of sort of knowledge at that kind of level, they're just going to just trap it down easily. Win possession all day long, and that's what happened.
I thought Mexico were excellent. Apart from their finishing, they should have been a goal or two up in half time.
I think Baines did very badly on the goal as well.
He
struggled a little bit. I think it was a strange run because we went into the half time break like 2-1 up, and it was like, how's that?
It's embarrassing in a way, isn't it?
Sorry about that. So I think Capello went into the dressing room and the Mexicans went, sorry about that.
I just thought that, as you say, everyone seems to be technically better than that. I mean,
Japan were as well.
Yeah, well, with Mexico, England really struggle against any kind of, you know what I mean when I say Latin side.
Yeah.
And because all the Mexican players and all the kind of Latin players can trap a ball, they can distribute it, you know, in a short pass, they can move off the ball and create space and triangles and all that sort of
play
other jargon.
Yeah.
And
that's just football.
And all that other rubbish. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, Pete. Yeah. So therefore,
they've got no passion, though, have they?
No, that's the trouble. But so they can all do that. Now, if you can do that, you're going to have a chance, right? Unfortunately for them, they don't have real top quality with the players. You know, although Blanco was back.
Yeah, he's old though, 36.
I know, that's wonderful stuff to see him back. So the difference was in that game is just England kind of had a few crosses, like it was a corner, I think, Kings, and they almost sort of force it in. It was almost like, well, we're the bigger boys,
kind of
thing. So when England play against a decent side who have got some quality players, they will put those chances away all day long.
Well, Mexico's feet were not exactly on the pedal, were they? Not that you drive like that, but you know what I mean? It makes sense. It was very much, it just seemed like England's day out before sort of heading off.
Yeah.
You've got to remember, England are playing with personnel and through formations that they're not going to probably do in the World Cup.
I mean, it is very difficult to judge.
It's impossible, isn't it?
And it's, maybe it's completely futile.
But against Japan, you can
judge. Yeah.
That was a game, wasn't it?
Mm. It just didn't seem like a game of football. I'm almost certain that Theo Walcott didn't realise he was playing football. Genuinely, somebody said on the Facebook, Facebook group. I've never agreed with Andy Townsend before. When Andy Townsend says that Theo Walcott doesn't look like a footballer, no, it was actually Chris Waddle. Never agree with Chris Waddle, but he said at one point that Theo Walcott doesn't think like a footballer. He doesn't think like a footballer. No. He takes up the weirdest positions. He doesn't really know. I genuinely think that he spends a lot of his time coming on in the last half an hour, 20 minutes of games. So when everyone's knackered and the shape's lost a little bit, I genuinely think he doesn't know how to play in his position. It's weirdest situation. Well,
we've said this before about Walcott. It does seem to be a confidence thing, because when he scored that hat trick against Croatia, for a couple of games after that for Arsenal as well, he looked superb. He looked really threatening. Like, defenders didn't like really struggled against him because he had that sort of direct approach where he wasn't afraid to have a shot. He wasn't afraid to just sort of like make a run and sort of stick to his original decision. He just seems to change his mind halfway through whatever he's doing at the moment. I think he needs somebody to just tell him it's okay to do your own thing, you know, and to just sort of have a bit of confidence in yourself.
I agree with that. I think the one thing he doesn't do, which sort of is a bit, there's no excuse for it, because he sees he's in the same squad as Aaron Lennon, who does it all the time.
Yeah.
Get the ball, one touch, pop it into the space and leg it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if he's not got the brain of a footballer, or he's too inexperienced to be a winger or all this sort of stuff, then at least do the one thing he can do, which is run really, really fast and get to the byline and just stand across up.
Well, I think we can all agree it was nice to see Gerrard and Lampard back in the centre of midfield together.
That's the first time on the Capello, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the first time that's
happened.
Why
is Andy Townsend going, yeah, of course they can, you know, when one holds, one go. Oh, my God.
Have you been watching football for the last 10 years, Andy?
I do appreciate Capello having a look at it, because, you know, you've got to accept he's a very, very good manager, and he might think, well, maybe someone's not been doing something in the past that is the reason for it not working. It seems very late in the day to do it, though, and I worry England are going to sort of slip back into old habits.
The whole thing, just that whole match was just... I just wish they hadn't played it, because it depressed the hell out of me, to be quite frank. Right back is we've got a certain aspect. We've got Carragher, who can stand there and lump the ball up the field if he sits at right back.
It's quite
Johnson can't seem to defend, but he can go up.
Between them, they're quite decent.
You can sort of tape them together. I just found that very, very difficult. And we did look at different side when Joe Cole sat behind.
Got to put three in the middle of the park.
I mean, he's obviously got methods, Capello. He's won a lot of stuff. He knows what he's doing. So it's almost like I feel a bit reticent to sort of undermine him by talking about it. But I don't understand why he's played Rooney.
Yeah,
there's literally no point.
He's got a weird side. Why put Rooney in
there? But Rooney's definitely going to start, so he's looking for someone who's an alternative strike
partner.
Up
there.
I think it's a good idea to play Rooney, because he has to see who works.
Well, even
with him.
Though he's got niggly injuries, he's played an awful lot of football.
He's all right, though, isn't he? So Capello's been sort of.
It just seems a bit strange to me.
Right.
And I don't think England will. Marcus, England won't start with like a straight 4-4-2, will they?
Well, they've never have.
No, it's just weird.
All the commentators were saying how. Well, all the commentators, Tilsley, was saying, you know, oh, England have been playing 4-4-2 throughout the groups. The group. Qualification. No, we haven't.
That's rubbish.
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, exactly. And 4-4-2 is way too rigid. Someone like Mexico will pick you apart.
Mexico will pick you apart. Yeah. All the top
Spain
teams, Spain,
going.
Holland, what are they going to do? Italy. But I think that England, what they did well in qualifying is they played their formation and they were solid and organised. Mm. And which is kind of, I mean, you know, a friend of mine. Kind of summed it up quite nicely for me. He said, we're full of honest, hard-working, decent, workman-like players without much or any creativity and anyone who can open the door, maybe with the exception to Rooney. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it is. So if you've... You know, we don't have a Xavi in there or a Kaká or a Schneider to kind of pick that pass, unlock the door.
I don't know.
Maybe Lampard, but...
See, what I think is that...
Well, Joe Cole on form.
Well, not on form, but what I'm saying is, in the qualification, solid, organised. And if you're those things, like Germany have been for years, then your slightly creative players can do a little bit more, because they'll have a little bit more time on the ball, or they just know what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I mean, I think we've got to sort of stick with having two kind of anchormen in the middle, and Gerrard or Lampard. Lampard's had a phenomenal season.
Yeah, he's been superb.
And if he's given that same role he has at Chelsea, he'll cause anyone problems.
Well, I've always been a big fan of Lampard with England. I mean, a lot of criticism he got after World Cup 2006.
For his whole career.
Yeah, well, that's right. And
just because he didn't quite live up to how well he played in qualification. That's
true, but I'd like to see him given a free role. But the trouble is, it's too late in the day now to... Mm. You know, and Capello won't listen to me.
The other thing is that England, I don't think England have kept an awful lot of clean sheets under Capello. I think they've only kept two clean sheets under Capello.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we at the moment it seems that we can't defend set pieces, which is going to be absolutely devastating.
But I mean, it's a completely different kettle of fish when
absolutely,
the World Cup starts.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to. It's so difficult to take anything from those sort of friendlies at all. But the bottom line is that. Japan and Mexico aren't going to win the World Cup, so they've got to be playing.
I agree with you. I think Mexico could go out of the group, and I'd like to see how far they're going.
I think Mexico will qualify from the group. They've got France, Uruguay,
South Africa. They're in the opening game against South Africa.
The South Africa, despite them being at home, still won't do much.
I think Mexico could take them apart in the first game, which will be like, I don't really want to see the home team do that. I want South Africa to score to see this silly celebration that we talked about an extra bit of vuvuzela.
There'll
just be a lot of snapped vuvuzelas all in the ground.
Pete, I have a question for you.
What?
Should Frank Lampard still take England's penalties?
Not if he's going to put him bottom left, because
every single time
I said that, my mate, I said keep his bottom right. How do you know?
David James knew in the final.
Yeah,
he did,
crying out loud. And it doesn't matter if you're going to pick that spot every single time. It doesn't matter how good the penalty is.
It didn't. His connection was really poor as well. If you saw the replay, he just completely scuffed it. Just drill it, man.
I personally, to answer that question, I'd stick with him. Got to have faith in the players, I think.
Yeah.
If he misses one more, though, I think that's what Capello is.
Drop him forever.
Scapegoat him.
And that's it.
The thing about the ITV coverage was, I quite like him as a pundit, but I was sort of, after the game, I was a bit like
Southgate.
I'm not listening to you, Southgate, about penalties. Yeah. You know, anything, you're just bringing back bad memories.
Yeah. I must say, I actually like Adrian Charles being over at ITV.
Do
makes
you?
It a lot more watchable,
a bit more palatable.
Because I do like Adrian Charles.
I quite
it
like
makes
Southgate.
It a lot less sort of, you know, static. Yeah, no, Southgate.
Southgate's like surprisingly honest. He doesn't mind sticking the boot in, which is refreshing.
So that's a well done, ITV.
Yeah. Although having said that, you've given James Corden his own show. So
yeah, actually.
You give with one hand.
We are recording this on a Monday afternoon / evening, so we don't actually know who Capello has put into the squad. But I'm really, really happy that Joe Cole has made the squad.
Yeah, and I'm also looking forward to seeing Emil Heskey play his trade up front.
I'm surprised at the inclusion of Jamie Carragher.
Well, I feel very sorry for
Michael Dawson.
Scott Parker.
Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, yeah, it's disappointing, isn't it?
Well, whatever you say about England, the future appears to be bright, because England have won the under-17 European Championships.
They beat Spain in the final 2-1.
They beat Spain in the final. A highly rated Ipswich forward, Connor Wickham, scored the winning goal there. It's the first time England have won an age group title since 1993, which is the under-18s.
I can remember that.
So we can all sit back and relax.
We can all see how the current generation have bloomed.
Because in a few years, James, it'll be the golden generation.
I can actually remember thinking in sort of about 97, 98, 2006, 2010, we're going to be amazing.
There's far less hype about us potentially winning it at this World Cup than there was at the last one. People really believed it, didn't they?
Well, Euro 2004, everybody thought.
But look at how many like sort of really positive football related spurious crappy adverts. We talked about them before a couple of weeks ago, but just seeing the sort of positivity in between the break of, and then you sort of like, and then the match starts against Japan and Heskey's flashing headers wide. Oh,
yeah.
He's a big fan of the flash header.
Emil the Mule.
Well, let's talk about quickly about the domestic scene. The League Two playoff final was won by Dagenham and Redbridge 3-2 against Rotherham.
It's an amazing achievement by Dagenham.
Definitely.
Chuckle Brothers are pleased. They're
they're
Rotherham
fans.
I thought they were Dagenham.
They're Rotherham.
Are they Rotherham?
Rotherham
United. So they're going to be unhappy, Pete.
They're going to be unhappy. The Chuckle
Brothers
are
never
unhappy.
You got the Chuckle Brothers' emotions mixed up.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I've got. You know the Dagenham Redbridge manager, John Steele?
Not personally.
Well, there's a guy I used to go uni with, and he's actually married to John Steele's daughter. And this is quite a funny story. He wanted to ask John Steele's daughter if he could have her hand in marriage. So he rings up John Steele one day and says, "Oh, John, all right, can I have a chat to you? You know, have you got a spare 10 minutes?" And he went, "Yeah, sure, come down to the ground." You know, and, he did, because he was in his office at the ground. He said, "Come down to the ground. Yeah, I'm just finishing up here. Just pop over." And so he went round there and he went to the office, and then John Steele was sitting there with a couple of his coaches. Yeah, and he was like, "Yeah, what's wrong, Ben?" His name's Ben, and he went, "Do you mind if you just speak to him alone quickly?" And he went, "Yeah, sure, no worries." And it sort of looked a bit funny. And so John Steele asked the two coaches to leave. And apparently John Steele looked really nervous. And Ben went, John, I just wondered if I'd love to ask your daughter to marry me." And John Steele went, "Oh, for fuck's sake, Ben. I thought you were going to ask me for a trial. You're shit." I didn't know I was going to let you down gently.
That is super.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Oh dear.
But yeah, well done to them, because they're on an absolute shoestring. He's done such a good job there.
Yeah.
No, really good. And in the League One playoff, Millwall beat Swindon 1-0.
Yeah.
Millwall v Dagenham, not going to happen.
No,
I think we can all...
Millwall v Pompey is going to happen, though.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice coming together.
I think Dagenham could do all right in League One next. I don't think... between the sort of top half of League Two and the bottom half of League One, I don't think there's an awful lot of difference. I think they've got a chance to stand up next season.
Millwall?
It'd be tough for them. They're one of those teams... They spent a bit of time in the Championship not too long ago, so you never know.
They've been to so many playoff finals, it must be such a relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
To finally get up.
Did you see the Swindon player, due to the crappy Wembley pitch, he had an open goal almost, and it just bobbled in front of him. It was so, that's the pitcher's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was such a sort of knife-edge chance, and because it was 1-0, it would have been, I believe it would have been 1-1-all, probably 1-1.
Well, obviously, it's a big game, isn't it? So,
don't think there's so ever going to be a point with that pitch until it actually is sorted where that just doesn't seem disgusting and outrageous and almost like you're seeing the first sort of example of it ruining something every single time.
Yeah.
It winds me up so much.
It'll take teams boycotting while we're not playing there. You know what I mean? In competition, in going to the Premier League or going to the FA and such. Well, we're not going to play there because... You're spoiling football.
Seriously, they should just put an AstroTurf pitch down, like that I did in Russia. Just stick a plastic pitch down.
Are you sure?
Well, at least you can. Well, the thing is, the reason that I say that is because I was really, really nervous for the Mexico game that one of our players was going to be
Ledley King.
Because Ledley King shouldn't be playing on that pitch, isn't he? That Gary Taylor Fletcher in the Championship playoff final had to go off injured because of the pitch,
and he changed his studs three times.
Yeah. So I mean, it's only a matter of time before someone gets a serious knee injury, like a Roy Keane style knee injury, where studs stand pitch and he twists and that's it, career's over.
Then
the FA are going to pay more out in compensation than they would have done for getting the pitch sorted properly.
Change the pitch.
Exactly.
Crystal Palace.
Oh dear, yeah.
They're in real trouble, as if they weren't already, but financial.
At time of recording, they're about 24 hours away from being liquidated, unfortunately. There's a protest happening, I think. Hopefully someone can save him. A decent club, Palace.
Did that not happen?
Yeah, that's obviously not happened, unless he's playing some sort of emotional game.
Trying to get the price down.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable for a team of such size and such weight and such a huge amount of support.
But it still could happen to Portsmouth. I mean, worst case scenario, two or three teams could go to the wall during the summer. It's in the World Cup. Look at all the wealth.
I saw more teams happening to more teams, to be quite frank. I think
it will sooner or later.
Nothing is stopping it, is there?
No, we've always said though, Jimbo, over the last year or so, it's going to take a big casualty for it to be sorted out. You know,
Platini's doing his best though.
Yeah, but that's not really going to affect the clubs like Crystal Palace. That's going to be sort of at the top end. You know, it gets down to the point where, I think I've said this before, I don't think people generally, whether they like football or not, begrudge the very, very best players earning a ridiculous amount of money. But when you get down the leagues and people and players are still earning 200, 300 grand a year, it's too much money. And it's not sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at how much money is in the game, it does make sense in some twisted kind of way that the players get that much.
It's the biggest sport in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you look at basketball players and baseball players, they earn an awful lot of money as well. Formula One drivers, you know, it's sustainable to a point, but not all the way down 92 league clubs.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know?
Yeah.
Well, chaps, other countries have been preparing for the World Cup, because it's not just us in it.
Cheat.
What?
Cameroon's preparations have been disrupted slightly as Samuel Eto'o has threatened not to turn up to the tournament. This is because he's had a bit of criticism from Roger Miller. Dean Wendass Hall of Fame.
Is Miller in the squad? Is this what he's doing?
I'm
not playing with him. If he's criticising me, no. Going home.
Well, Roger Miller claimed that Eto'o still hasn't brought anything to the national team.
What?
He's Cameroon's all-time leading scorer. Roger, what are you doing? I like you, but this is silly.
He's had a Pele, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, Eto'o's... I'm hoping that his comments have been... You know, he was pissed when he said it, or like his comments have been taken out of context or made up.
He fancies being called up late doors.
I think that's what it is. Eto'o said, "Is it worth me going to the World Cup? I still have a few days to think about it."
What else are you going to do?
Why would you say that?
No, but why would you get so uppity about... It must be annoying, because you're probably your idol.
He's
saying
just being
that,
sarcastic, isn't he? This is one of those complete non-stories.
You reckon?
But there's a few... I always find this... with some of the teams who have not been traditionally the big nations,
yeah,
but past teams have done really well.
Yeah.
Like Rashidi Yekini, the former Nigerian player, he's piped up recently saying, oh, the current Nigerian players, they lack commitment and all this kind of
they're
stuff.
They're just trying to get a bit of airtime.
Well, I think... Yeah. I just think, remember me!
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, isn't it? You know... Yeah, so I'm not a fan of that. I'd like to see the old boys.
Well, it's no good
getting behind the team. You got to
question the motivation of Roger Meir because
you said Roger Meir like Barry Davis.
Yeah, well, I'm from the Barry Davis school of pronunciation.
Good.
Cameroon have got a really decent chance of qualifying for the group. They got Denmark and Japan
and Holland.
Yeah, Holland will probably win the group. Yeah. I would have thought, but Cameroon have got a good chance.
Mm.
You know, so I mean,
well,
no
Nigeria in a funny group as well. They've Argentina,
Greece, and South Korea.
And South Korea, Greece, and South Korea. Yeah.
Yeah, African teams could do well this year, definitely.
Yeah. Sadly, Michael Essien's not going to be there.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah. That's such a shame for
that
the
is
tournament
a big shame.
As a whole.
Yeah.
You want the best players there, and he's undoubtedly one of the best midfielders in the world. So he's been fighting a battle against trying to get fit for a while now, hasn't he? He obviously missed the cup final.
I'm really looking forward to the Ghana-Germany game with the whole Boateng sort of scenario, how that's set up.
Well, versus his brother as well.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
That's crazy,
because he's
isn't
a hate
it?
Figure out in Germany now, isn't he?
I love a subplot.
Build in Germany is basically the sun, isn't it? So they've stirred it all up in the same way that the sun would.
Have they really?
They've gone to town on it.
But that's if, well, that's if Boateng actually plays.
Well, yeah, of course.
Boateng.
Didn't
SCN flip his rally car over? Wasn't he?
That was Gallas. Yeah.
Why do I think?
That would be a piss take if he was injured and then he started.
But they have it in the contract.
Gallas was injured for ages.
Yeah, but it was one of Dominic's crazy schemes.
All right. Yeah. Were he riding up a mountain or a glacier or whatever it is?
He equaled the record, didn't he, of 75 games in charge of the national team?
He has, yeah.
Domenech has.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Domenech, you know, the opening game of the World Cup will mean he's their sort of longest serving manager, which is crazy.
He took us to the final.
That's right.
But I mean, that was 4 years ago, and look at what's happened since.
Yeah,
the moment it stopped, he proposed to his girlfriend, and just it's been downhill from there.
Yeah.
I think France will do okay.
Do you? I think there's gonna, like I said to you before, there's a high profile casualty every time, and I think it's going to be France.
Mm. I think I've already stuck my neck out to say this, but I think Portugal might
be
the
one. Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, it's Korea.
North Korea.
North
Korea. Did you hear that Chile played two friendlies in the same day?
Silly Chile.
Silly Chile.
Well, they did, but what Bielsa did. yeah, that's it. El Loco, some people call him.
He's the coach of Chile, obviously.
That's right, sorry, yeah, a bit crazy. I mean, I know a lot of people called El Loco in South America because of necessity, really, rather than nicknaming. But he had the senior side and he played two friendlies. And the reason why he did that is, he said, well, since we have two players for each position attending the World Cup, we need to give them all time on the field. So what he did was they played one game against Israel and another team against Northern Ireland, not at exactly the same time, but like he patched one of the sides up with some of the under-20 team.
That's a good idea.
They won
just
both of them.
Just get to play forever in training.
Yeah. Yeah. They beat Northern Ireland 1-0, they beat Israel 3-0.
Keeping people guessing.
That's it.
You fancy a bit actually, don't you?
They're really entertaining.
Yeah.
So it's a shame for them because they'll have
Brazil
somebody from them. If they do get through, which you'd fancy them to, because they've got Spain, Honduras and Switzerland in their group, and I think them and Spain will go through.
Yeah, but then they're going to play either Brazil or Ivory Coast or Portugal in the next round,
or North Korea.
Then we can rule that out,
can we?
Yeah, but I think yeah, they're a good side going forward. Like your man Humberto Suazo, he scored the other night, I think. So yeah, every chance.
Yeah.
Good coach.
And if they do play against Brazil, though, they've got to be worried, because Luis Fabiano said that if it is necessary to play dirty to win, we will do it.
That's Dunga speaking.
Fabiano's a head case as well.
He's a big brute as well.
Yeah.
Great player, Fabiano.
He's a brilliant player, but for Sevilla, did he not once... Somebody on like the opposite bench as he was playing mouthed him off, and he just went over and kicked the crap out of him.
If someone mouthed me off,
well, that's very true. Fortunately,
in front of everyone.
Fortunately, we don't play with dugouts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would never get on the field. Yeah. Well, he would do in a very short short period of time. Well, I mean, chaps, I don't think you'll mind me doing this. I mean, we are talking about South American teams.
It's time for Diego watch.
There we go. Do you know something, right? I'm sorry, but we are going to have to mention him again.
This is just going to become a feature, isn't it? It's going to be one of those things that forces itself into becoming a feature because something happens every
bloody week. I think to myself,
week.
We can't talk about Maradona again.
Yes, we can.
Sorry. But, you know, he says if we win the World Cup, he'll get naked and run around the obelisk.
That's the sort of thing you say if you're damning someone's chances.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Not if you're intending to win it.
Yeah, that's not a treat for anyone watching.
No.
Well, the obelisk is right in the centre of Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And it's a big landmark monument and right in the centre. And it's right where it's, I think it's the widest road in the world. It's got like 15 lanes or something.
They'll need that.
The other thing is, right, is another thing to follow up on what James said, is that sort of thing is something you do in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
If you win, you'll be in South Africa. You're going to have to come all the way 10,000 miles and then do it.
It's not stripping on the plane.
Yeah.
He's off.
Parachute out of it.
Straight from the plane. Vroom.
You know. One of those Michael Jackson style jetpack. I'm big enough.
Do you remember, though, that there was a picture of him? I can't remember what... It was one of the football shows back in the day.
Yeah.
Of him naked in the shower.
It was fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And
very, it was tiny.
I mean, fair enough.
In the shower, come on.
Yeah.
But still.
It's a hot shower,
if someone's
James.
Got
just
a camera.
Sport.
Come on. Look, we're talking about a new Diego here.
He's got a lovely grey beard now as well.
Oh, he does, yeah.
He looks really old with that beard. He should get rid of it.
Do you fancy him having a Cuban on the sidelines as a player?
Yeah, of course.
Didn't he do something like a while ago or a few years ago where he basically woke up all the Chelsea players because they were in a hotel that he was in, and he set off all the fire alarms because he had a big Cuban cigar in the hotel.
Oh, good lad,
did he?
Something mental like
that.
That
sounds
happened,
right.
I'm pretty sure.
That's I'm going to stick my neck out and say that definitely happened.
Do you remember it was in the 82 World Cup and... Oh, was it? Yeah, it was in 82 World Cup and it was just after, because of all the Falkland War and all between Britain and Argentina, that some of the local Spaniards were... very upset with the England team because they're not politicians and nothing to do with it. But anyway, and they were outside the England hotel, like beeping their horns and trying to keep them up all night and stuff.
There's lots of stories. I mean, apparently that happened before England-Brazil in 1970 as well. Apparently all the Brazil fans went down, found out where they...
is that right?
Yeah, just played the samba drums all night.
You're going to be knackered watching the game. Is it worth it?
I suppose.
They don't care. But while we're on the subject of Argentina, their team doctor has said that the players can have sex with their regular partners, James. We don't want anything irregular there. Because he said sex was a part of life. He said the players can have sex with their wives and girlfriends during the World Cup. Players are not Martians. But...
Tevez is a Martian.
It should not be at 2 a.m. with champagne and Havana cigars.
Well, that's me out. I am out because if there's one thing I need when we go to Joburg, I've told you all about this, my rider simply must contain my regular partner, a bottle of champagne of decent quality and a Havana cigar.
I'm going to start smoking for the whole thing.
So
I'm going to smoke down the end of a vuvuzela.
He's only said at 2 a.m, so I think up to then you're good.
It's nice to know that the Argentinians got their priorities sorted for the World Cup, isn't it?
If I start about 5-2,
you'll be alright.
Speaking of notable smokers, you know who I'm going to be at this major tournament of football?
Who?
Bilic.
Oh, yes.
He's a notable touchline cigarette. Cigarillo man.
Cigarillo.
Well, maybe he'll still be there with his band. Maybe his band will do a couple of gigs. Raw bone.
Half time.
Yeah, yeah.
Half time entertainment for the final. It's them or you too.
I'll take them. I'll take Bilic over Bono.
Bono's injured.
Yeah.
Well, would you fancy him? Is he lead or is he rhythm and voice?
He's guitar and voice, I think. Yeah.
It's the Slaven Bilic band, isn't it? He's just given it a name.
So what are they called
the
again?
Robo.
Robo.
Yeah. Robo.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Emails. Vamos.
Spanish on us, eh, Lukey?
Yeah.
It is emails. Luke is correct. Pete, start us off, please.
Right, this is one by, I presume, a younger listener by the name of Ryan Lewis. Thanks for having thanks for emailing in, I guess. Ramblefoss Hall. After seeing your comment on Facebook prior to the England-Mexico game, I made a comment about the fiasco that was Darlington FC and their pitch at their old ground, Feetums. After a new stand was built opposite my house at the time, while it was being built, I managed to watch a Man City FA Cup tie from my bedroom window. Well, when they built it, they managed to burst a sewage pipe, which ruined the pitch. The head groundsman, who I was working for doing my work experience, was told to put worms on the pitch to sort it out. I don't know how that sorts it out, but
sounds like our wives to help.
He ordered them, and then we spread them. However, they were the wrong type of worm, and the guy had ordered far too many and ruined the pitch. The pitch had to be relayed and cost the club a hell of a lot of money, and the problem wasn't actually solved, so more worms were bought. I'm not sure what happened in the end, as I only took the work experience because my school wouldn't allow me to go to an army camp for 2 weeks. Also, the ground was opposite my house, and so I had more time to play Championship Manager. All the best, Ryan Lewis. Love this.
Maybe that's what Wembley needs to do, just buy worms.
Worms. Yeah. Worms will solve everything.
It sounds like one of those things where, like, a sort of an apprentice gets sent out to buy, like, 10-inch holes.
Worms
will do it. Where do the worms go when they fix the pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a cracked sewage pipe. Do they just eat the poo? Is that what the worms do?
That's probably it.
Probably what it does, turns it over.
Good thinking, Pete.
Yeah. Yuckos.
Luke.
Ramblefoss. Following on from James or Jim's comment that Scholesy is worth his weight in ginger, I thought you might like to know that should 11 stone 9 pound Paul Scholes be made of nothing but ginger, he would be worth £168.75. This is because ginger is worth £2.25 a kilo. Oh, that's from Lofty from Manor House in London. Thanks,
great
Manor House. Brilliant. Lovely stuff.
Lofty,
great.
Oh, there you are, James.
Lovely. Ferguson's never letting him go for that.
No, exactly. No.
It's like an Optostats of ginger.
Yeah.
James or Jim's turn.
I've got an email. Rambleforth, ho, and all that. Following on from last week's ramble, I've decided to compile the Nazzle Dazzle, a.k.a. the North American Soccer League All-Star 11. The North American Soccer League obviously was a league I had in America in the 70s, which was very short-lived, but we love it.
We mentioned the Nazzle...
Amazing players in that.
We mentioned this, didn't we? We said we'd, like, get a Nazzle Dazzle team together. He seems to have done it for us.
Nazzle Dazzle, he has indeed, and he's done it well. I'm going for a basic 4-3-3. In goal, of course, is
There's
Gordon Banks.
There's nothing basic about a 4-4-3.
With Gordon Banks in goal. Brilliant.
Good.
A back four of Carlos Alberto, Bobby Moore, Franz Beckenbauer and Mike England would be pretty formidable.
Solid.
There's no left back there though.
Well,
Mike England was more of a centre back.
Okay.
Well,
but I'm sure
solid,
he's
solid though.
Yeah,
solid.
No, very true, very true.
A very attacking midfield of Teofilo Cabillas in the middle with Georgie Best and Johan Cruyff on the wings would take apart any team to come near them. And a front three of Gerd Müller, Pele and Eusebio
would be
worth the admission fee alone.
Delish.
I hope you'll agree with this Nazzle All-Star team. Unfortunately, I couldn't find space for some fantastic players such as Johan Niskins, Jimmy Johnston, Giorgio Chinaglia, Jeff Hurst, Roy Weggerly, Peter Beardsley and of course Kaiser Mutang. But this all-time 11 shows that we can be thankful to the Nazzle experiment just for bringing all of these wonderful individuals into one league, something that Richard Scudamore can only dream of. In terms of a coach for the side, I can't think of any outstanding nominations from the era. However, many great current managers took part in the Nazzle party as players, including Dick Advocaat and Gus Hiddink. Sam Allardyce and Harry Redknapp also had spells at the Nazzle. Love to your mothers, brothers and significant others. That's from Ben.
That's now, classy,
that's
man.
Great. I'm thinking though, Chinaglia is not having a place on the bench. This is going to kick off big time straight away.
He's missed a few bits.
He would tear that team apart.
A few names for you, Ben, that you've missed. Daniel Dicchio. Yeah. Mo Johnson.
Yeah.
Georgie Campos.
Yeah.
Oh,
Campos.
Yeah.
How would they get on?
It was Campos. No, Campos would have been after.
Yeah, how would they get on?
I'm talking nonsense.
You're talking about ums.
Yeah. I'm not talking about the
finish.
Yeah.
Can we just applaud Nazzle?
Yeah. How would they get on against a team of current MLS All-Stars? Like your Rowan Ricketts, your Darren
Huckabees. Juan Pablo Angel.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, Angel.
Beckham would be there going, oh, God. I've got no chance.
Can I join Nazzle?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Oi, that's mine. That's my bit.
That's mine.
Introducing mine. Myself as you, dear.
No.
Well, a special guest voice over there from Luke Moore for the profile.
You're welcome.
let's crack on. Davor Suker.
Legend.
Good.
Keeping up the World Cup theme.
Oh, yes. Left foot. Just the one. It's an easy one. He was born on January the 1st, 1968.
One year after the summer of that.
I hope I never see, live to see the day that that's not relevant.
I think you already have.
Davor Suker, a Croatian living legend. I think you'll all agree.
Oh, he loved a ship, Marcus.
He loved a ship.
Did I say ship?
Yeah, he loves ships.
He loves ships.
He probably does. Sailing around the coastline of Croatia. Yeah. Or island hopping. There's lots of...
Dalmatian coast, it really is a beautiful place for sailing.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Often forget it's a hot country, didn't you?
I don't.
No, well, you're weird.
He began his career at the age of 16 in the Yugoslav First Division.
Good age for it.
Yeah.
And at 21, he was the league's top goal scorer.
I thought you were going to say lead singer.
What, Slaven Bilicova
from Robo? Are they one of those bands? Yeah, yeah.
He was the league's top scorer when he was 21. So already showing what a poacher he was. Mm-hmm. Not just a poacher, a scorer of great goals as well. He was a member of the 1987 World Cup, the Youth World Cup winning side that won it in Chile. And that was quite a team. Let me just go through a few of the other names that appeared on that team sheet for that youth championship side for Yugoslavia. Boban.
Milan legend. Mm.
Savicevic.
Brilliant.
Mijatovic.
Yeah.
Prozinecki.
The great man.
Smoky Prozinecki. Yeah.
Do you remember Robert Jarni?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah. What a team.
A golden generation again.
One should say.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah, they were brilliant in that tournament, they won it. I don't remember, I was very young at the time, but looking back at the records and all those, I think they scored 17 goals at that tournament, which I think is still a record.
Great stuff.
For the FIFA World Youth Championships. And he scored 6 goals in that tournament. He was he won the silver shoe.
Oh yeah.
Second top goal scorer. In 1990 Yugoslavia were runners up in the European Under 21 Championship, and he won the Golden Player Award for his performances and scored another 6 goals as well. He was in the Yugoslav national team's 22 for Italia 90.
Oh yeah.
But he didn't get on, unfortunately. And he
there
made
was his, to be more to come.
There certainly was, James or Jim. He made his debut for Croatia in 1990, and then of course he was soon to become a Croatian player, and the whole Yugoslavia unpleasantness wars and all
were to cause the unpleasantness war.
This war is particularly unpleasant. I saw some poo on the floor.
This is much worse than the last war I was involved in.
That was quite the romp.
So he'd been playing in Yugoslavia until
prior to the unpleasantness wars.
That's right. Yeah. And in 1991, he, because of all the stuff that was going on in Yugoslavia, he moved to Sevilla, where he spent 5 years and was a real crowd favourite there. And in the 1992-1993 season, that saw him and a certain El Diego team up.
Mm. Oh, really?
Played with Maradona at Sevilla.
You forget that Maradona's actually like a human being. He's like this revered nutter. Yeah. But he pops up in all kinds of stories.
Yeah, he was there. The 93-94 season, he was second highest scorer in La Liga with 24 goals.
Didn't he move on to Real Madrid after that?
Not quite. He right. Slightly after that. He did lead Croatia to their first major international tournament in Euro 96 when he scored a record of 12 goals in 10 matches during the qualifying. That
beaten
record
by David Healy.
David Healy has now surpassed that record, 13. Yeah, yeah. Incredible qualifying campaign rather. Because I can remember thinking of Croatia, nobody had really heard of them because they weren't previously a country.
Yeah.
And I think they were against Italy and they beat them 1-0. It might have been in Italy. Mm. I can't quite remember. And everyone was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and then I think they drew with Italy at home. So they qualified for Euro 96. And everyone thought, blimey, who are these guys? And they were absolutely brilliant. He scored 3 goals in 4 matches, did Davor Suker, and including 2 goals in a win against Denmark.
They won 3-0, didn't they?
They won 3-0.
And that was a Suker chip.
I do remember him trying a chip from pretty much his own half. And
they did, yeah.
Schmeichel only just got back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sort of did back. Oh, God, I've got it.
Yeah.
Schmeichel would have been one of the best keepers in the world, if not the best keeper in the world at that time.
Mm. I think a goal that he scored that people might not remember as well is a goal in the quarter final against Germany when he ran through and on the keeper, and he did round the keeper, but he kind of rolled the ball past him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was a bugger for doing that sort of stroking the ball.
Yeah,
rolling the foot.
He did that.
Lovely,
and finished quite nicely. He was transferred to Real Madrid after the tournament, and more people were realising the man they called Sukerman.
Ah, it's a good name.
they were getting quite acquainted to the world beater that he was. And he spent a few years at Real Madrid and won La Liga, Champions League. You know,
not enough.
One of the few things there.
Has he done it in the Premier League, though?
Real Madrid won't be happy until they've won the Premier League as well.
Yeah,
he scored 24 goals in his first season for Real. Wow.
Decent.
A very left-footed player.
Yeah, he had an absolute can-opening left
but, like, didn't have a right foot.
It's a very cultured left foot, though.
Yeah. But his right foot was just used for standing.
Yeah.
His right foot, whilst his left foot was sort of reading like sort of Russian classics, his right foot was reading like Heat.
Yeah. But he had the Beano in that.
Yeah, it's like
pretending to read Heat.
Yeah. He often scored against Barcelona, but he loved to score against them. And he once claimed, he said, "Well, I always score against Barcelona,
big time."
Yeah. So he's a man for the.
It's that sort of big time attitude that will see you in the Dean when that's all.
Well, exactly. Yeah. He helped Croatia to qualify for their first World Cup, which was France 98. And bearing in mind, you know, we talk about the golden generation. This very much was. But a generation that really did step up. You know, they did well at Euro 96. Yeah. And then they did extremely well at World Cup 98. And it was great to see. You know, we talked about the Bulgarians before. Well, this team, you know, they were the Bulgaria of the 98 World Cup, having Bulgaria done the semi-finals previously. And the team that everyone, who are these guys? They're great to watch, you know.
Everyone's second favourite team.
That's right, yeah. He scored 5 goals in 9 games. In the qualifying for France 98, and then of course at France 98 he was the top scorer,
golden boots,
with 6 goals. And
they only went out there because Lilian Thuram had some sort of personal breakdown during a game.
Yes, right, yeah,
they did
do you remember the situation of that, because he was at fault for one of the goals, wasn't it?
No, Boban played it into Thuram, and I think he whacked it in, didn't he? I'm sure. I know Boban
Suker finished it was just after half time.
Oh no, I mean like
against
France against.
Sorry.
Mm. And then Thuram scored twice, didn't he? He just looked like he wasn't even there for the second one. He just glazed over.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was very odd, wasn't it? I don't think he'd ever scored for France.
No, he scored 2-1 goals.
Just on a personal mission.
World Cup semi-final.
Incredible.
But that's on the way, they beat Romania 1-0 in the second round. He had to retake his penalty, Davor Suker. I think was it a story like he checked his pulse or something for the second one?
Apparently he waited for his pulse to get to a certain... That's the story.
Oh, right.
He waited for his pulse to get to a certain level before he retook it. And so he was calmer, so he put it away.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Because didn't they beat Holland in the third place playoff as well?
They did, yeah.
They came third in the end, didn't they?
They did come third.
That was the surprising result as well, because Holland were decent.
Yeah. They beat Germany, an ageing Germany side, 3-0.
Great stuff.
Emphatic.
I remember taking a lot of personal joy.
Warren's got sent off, didn't he? Because he couldn't handle it. He actually fouled... Suker.
Was it?
And
Suker?
He got sent out because he couldn't handle him.
So they ended up going third. I mean, wasn't it an amazing moment when it was 0-0 at half time, France v Croatia? Obviously, France at home in the Stade de France, or St. Denis, or whatever it is, St. Denis Stadium. And it's straight after half time. Croatia went 1-0 up, and everyone was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then, but immediately after, Thuram scored. And it was a bit like, nope.
Normality will prevail.
Unfortunately. But after the World Cup, he didn't have the best of seasons, and I think he fell out with the manager at Madrid, who might have been John Toshak, I think, at the time. But he fell out with...
So bad, he had to go to Arsenal, James.
Indeed.
So he did. He moved to England. He joined Arsenal. He was there for... Was it a season, I think?
Yeah, it wasn't there for long.
I remember he's got a really good goal against Sunderland. once. I think that was another chip as well.
Oh, well, that's right.
They're all chips.
Just if
it,
all
the chip. Unless it's otherwise, just assume it's a chip.
He missed a penalty in the UEFA Cup final.
Chip.
Yeah, he chipped it.
He chipped it over the bar.
Against Galatasaray.
Galatasaray. He then
went to...
game. It was, wasn't
hateful,
it?
Hateful game.
He went to West Ham after that.
I remember it at West Ham, actually. Yeah. Was he there for a couple of seasons?
Not even that, I don't think.
Oh, okay, right.
He was kind of past his best. He was very overweight because he'd had too many chips!
Oh. how long in minutes have you been waiting to fit that in?
Well, the clock says one or two. So 2 minutes, maybe?
2 minutes, yeah, okay.
I've been waiting.
Good. Restrained.
he went to Germany and joined 1860 Munich in 2001. And he did play a little bit of 2002 in the World Cup for Croatia. He only played 63 minutes against Mexico, but they went out in the first round, I'm afraid. His career ended in 2003 when he was playing for 1860 Munich. He won a total of 71 international caps during his career, 2 for Yugoslavia and 69 for Croatia, with a total of 46 international goals.
A great return. A decent return, you know.
He scored 1 in 2 for Yugoslavia. Precisely 1 in 2.
That's what you
want. Yeah. That's it. And his 45 goals for Croatia is, of course, the record for top scorer for Croatia.
The record will be the record.
and that's a record. I'll change the record. In 2004, he was voted the best Croatian player in the last 50 years.
Prosneki, so...
Shut up with your Pompey bias.
Sorry.
Since retiring from the game, you'll be pleased to know he's opened the Davor Suker Soccer Academy.
Nice.
There is academies all over, aren't they? Maybe, yeah. Do academy sides of legends like play each other?
I'd like to think so, James. That'd be amazing.
It's always the decent players, though. What if, like, really crappy players?
Well, like us. The Football Ramble Soccer Academy.
get that written down.
Yeah. Trademarked.
You'll also be pleased to know he has a collection of very rare Harley-Davidson motorbikes.
I'm delighted to know that.
But I shall finish with perhaps the best fact of all. He's recently opened a pub that sells his own brand of beer. Which is simply called Davor.
Nice. Sounds like a beer.
Sounds very intimidating.
I'll have a pint of Davor.
Devour that Davor.
Suddenly everyone in the team gets all the famous hammered.
Don't drink and drive your motorbikes, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Or cars. Chaps and chapesses, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you'd like to get in contact with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and of course the website where you can find blogs and other little things is thefootballramble.com. Luke?
Yep, don't forget, I need to point you in the direction of manmonth.co.uk again. That's powered by the IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. Our show is going to be available over at that website for the entire World Cup. 2 shows a week as soon as the World Cup kicks off. There's also blogs and videos and stuff.
Ramble videos.
Indeed. Mm. And there's chances to win really, really good prizes from the 4th of June. So that's IGN Network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. Oh, and I've got one more notice, and that's the World Cup drinks.
Yes.
Saturday 12th of June, England play USA. There's a couple of other games as well.
Argentina are playing.
And South Korea and some people like that. we're going to go to the King's Arms in East London near Liverpool Street Station.
Where we did it before.
Indeed.
In case anybody.
That's from 12:30 onwards. And you can find more details about that on thefootballramble.com.
It's a decent little venue as well.
Lovely
little
pub.
Lots of screens.
Lots of screens and lots of beer.
Yes.
Lots of beer.
Maybe some
Davor.
Can we get that? Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Wicked.
Very good. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Well, we're all off to have a pint of Davor. Cheers.
That's me drinking a pint of Davor.
Good.
Devouring a pint of Davor. Sharp, yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.